Hey friend, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here listening to another episode of the Pattern Design Circle podcast. Here we talk all about the ins and outs of designing knit and crochet patterns and running a business that makes it all possible. I'm Jessica, your host, knitting pattern designer, design mentor, and the friend in your ear. Can't wait to dive right in. The Pattern Design Circle podcast is sponsored by the Pattern Design Circle, a membership community for knit and crochet pattern designers that are feeling lost, lonely, or frustrated in their business. It connects you with a supportive community that's always eager to answer your questions and help you through the hard times. And there's loads of resources and activities specifically catered to business and designing. Sound like your jam? Check it out at snickerdoodleknits.com/design-circle. That's snickerdoodle, like the cookie, knits, knits.com/design-circle. All right, let's get into it. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Pattern Design Circle podcast. I'm so excited to be here chatting with you once again. And here we have another replay from Instagram Live that I hosted on my design Instagram with a designer. So every month I host a featured designer to really dive into their design process, their creativity, what inspires them, all of that kind of information that we've loved. We love the stories of other designers. So I've been capturing those on Instagram and then sharing the replays here with you in case you haven't seen them. So today I am sharing my discussion with Megan Nodecker, who is the designer behind Pip and Pin. And it was really fun to have this conversation because Megan was one of the earlier designers that I discovered because I had a mutual friend that adored Megan's work. This was a really fun chat. Talked about all of the things, and as per usual, felt like we could have just chatted forever. So I hope you really enjoy this conversation. I hope you find something valuable from it. You can then apply, you know, whether it's a mindset thing or strategy thing or just the inspiration of listening to another designer. So enjoy. And welcome to this month's featured designer chat. If you aren't familiar with me, I am Jessica. I'm the knitting pattern designer behind Snickerdoodle Knits and design mentor behind Pattern Design Circle. And every month I have a featured designer that comes and chats with me. And we just talk about their designs, we talk about their design process, and we talk about lots of stuff outside of designing. So today I'm super excited to have Megan Nodecker of Pip and Pin joining me live. And I think I just sent an invite. So hopefully everything will work. There! Hello!
Hi!
I'm so excited to see you!
I'm so excited to be here. I'm just going to fix that a little bit.
It's funny because, you know, I've done this is my 7th month now doing regular monthly lives with other people, and I can never remember which way the camera goes when it adds the second person. So
I didn't know whether I was going to be at the top or the bottom. Like, I'll just go in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello and welcome to everybody joining. We're excited to have you here. So for folks who don't know you, Megan, you are a podcaster, you're a designer, you're an author, you are a teacher for other designers. You do all of the things.
Yes, I have done many, many things.
Is there anything else you want to add to a little introduction?
I think you pretty well covered it. Yeah.
All the things.
I design knitting patterns. I've done books. I teach a course for new designers, which is new and exciting. I've done markets before and workshops and all sorts of fibery things.
Yes. Okay, so I asked this question, I think I've only done it one other time, but what are three words that you would use to describe yourself?
Oh. I guess the first one that comes to mind is, like, smiley, because that's just
you're in a good place for
default
that.
Mood, yeah, is smiley and giggly. Oh, geez, put me on the spot here.
It's actually funny that you mentioned that because I just watched one of your podcasts last week. And watching you, I'm like, we're going to be dangerous together because I also do all the giggles.
When we get, my sister was a really big part of Pip and Pin for a really long time. And we would do markets together and we have the same laugh. And so, and you could hear us from like across the hall, basically. We would get other vendors coming. Oh, I heard you and your sister giggling away over there.
Hey, at least you weren't screaming. So,
well, exactly. I know there's worse default moods to have, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess another word I would say, I'm crafty. I kind of do all the things. I knit, I crochet a little bit, I do watercolors, I do all sorts of arts and crafts with my daughter, and yeah. And then I guess for number three, I would say maybe outdoorsy, I guess.
Yes.
We do like to spend a lot of time outside. And yeah.
So perfect. Yeah. So maybe we'll go ahead and start with your life outside of designing, since we're kind of already in that discussion. I had, asked the question, and you mentioned that you are crafty, enjoy lots of different crafts and enjoy the outdoors and family. So do you want to talk a little bit more about each of those aspects?
Sure. I guess if we're talking about craftiness, that is kind of something that I've always done. It's always been a big part of my family. Like, I've lots of artists and crafters and carpenters and, we are people that use our hands to create things in all sorts of different forms. So I grew up with carpenters for dads and grandpas, and my mom did paintings and all sorts of other things. My sister does lots of like graphic design and pen and paper things, and my brother does comic books, and then I kind of do more the craft side of things. I was very into like collage for a long time, and cross-stitching. I did a lot of cross-stitching when I was younger. I do a little bit. I just taught myself how to do needlepoint, so that's been something fun. And then recently I have a friend out here she lives in Vancouver, which is very close by to me. She does things with natural dyes, and she makes watercolors out of plants and other things and rocks and minerals, and it's Caitlin French, if anybody's curious, but I recently picked up some of her watercolors, so I've been dabbling with that and channeling my grandmother a little bit.
That is so fun. Yeah. So fun. Yeah, so you did a lot of that as a kid, and it's just continued into adulthood.
Yeah, and I can already tell my daughter is exactly the same. Her room looks so excited. Just stuff everywhere, and little projects and little things, and I'm like, I just want your room to be clean, but that was also me. So I can't be too hard on her.
I don't know if my mom was much of like a crafter as a kid. She was very much like a tomboy. She loved to be outside and playing outside. And I did more. She did sewing. So she taught me how to sew, and I dabbled in all of the things. But before I started dabbling in all of the crafts, she likes to talk about how when I was little, I just like organized everything in my room in like grocery bags. And so she called me the bag. All these projects and things. So,
oh, that's perfect. That's kind of what I used to do. Yeah, organizing things, and like, I had beads. I had a huge bead collection. I didn't make anything with beads. I just organized them. Yes. Like a tackle box. I had a big giant tackle box and they would get reorganized.
That's so fun. Okay, so we were going to go on the tangent of outdoorsy stuff, but now let's go ahead and talk about how you started knitting.
Well, when I was probably, I would say, 8 or 9 young, my grandma taught me how to knit because she was from Holland, so proficient knitter, always has been, except she was left-handed. And so she knit backwards. And I was the youngest, well, I am the youngest granddaughter. And so she tried with everyone. She tried teaching her daughters. She tried teaching all the other grandkids. And, like, nobody could do it because she was all backwards. And, like, she couldn't teach because everyone else was right-handed. And then, I don't know, she was able to teach me, even though I'm right-handed. And it just made sense. She was so excited that, like, she was able to teach somebody. Yeah, so that kind of stuck. I guess, I mean, I was young, so I flitted around to everything. And then I would say when I was in my early 20s, my sister was living at home too. And we, what happened? She was knitting a scarf or something, like a really, really chunky scarf. And that's when, like, really chunky knits were just starting to be, like, a really big thing. This was back in, like, 2008 or something. And I was like, hey, like, do you know what Etsy is? Like, we could make these and, like, sell them. And we had just gotten, like, a GST check, which is, like, a rebate check from the government, basically. And so we had just gotten those in the mail. And we're like, well, let's just go to Michael's and buy this yarn and, like, start a company. And so we did. Yeah, and we started making really chunky knit things. And we did markets. And my sister was going to school for graphic design. So she actually, like, used our company for her schoolwork. So she branded our entire company while she was in school. So that was pretty awesome. Yeah. And eventually, like, we did really well with selling things, but as, like, any knitter knows, when you knit that much, it's really hard on your body. We also started having babies. We kind of got pregnant at around the same time, and, like, yeah, it was just not a feasible really thing anymore. So we were kind of trying to figure out where to go next. Like, we knew we wanted to keep going, but we're like, this just is not sustainable. Like, our bodies can't do this anymore. So we were at Knit City, which is like a fiber festival in Vancouver. And it was one of the very first ones. And we were beside Tin Can Knits, Alexa, she's also from Vancouver. And she had, like, this was before Tin Can Knits was even Tin Can Knits. So this was 10 years, this was 11 years ago or something. And so she was dyeing yarn at the time. And then she also had a couple of, like, printed patterns. Like, I didn't even know what patterns were even. I had no idea that, like, patterns existed or anything. So the very first, like, knitting pattern I ever bought was the pop blanket from her. And then that's kind of how we realized how we could translate, like, oh, these knitted chunky things into, like, something that, okay, we only have to knit this once. And then Katie's a graphic designer, so she did all the kind of other stuff. And yeah, that's kind of how it, how that evolved over the past 20 years, 25 years.
That is so fun. Yeah. So then, I mean, I guess, okay, first question is.
Sorry, that was a really long question.
How long were you selling the knits before you started with them?
I'd say probably about 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. We started with just a couple small markets. We did sell on Etsy as well, but didn't really get too big there. And then there was 1 year, I think we did like 8 or 9 Christmas markets. And that was a lot. Yeah. So that's when we were like, we can't do this anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. So I also started with doing hand knits, but I only was like 3 months in and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do this forever.
Yeah. It's hard, but especially when you're doing like the chunky ones, it's like your whole arm has to do it. It's not just your hands. So yeah. How long did you, what were you making?
Mostly hats, some headbands. I had like some cowl things. Actually, Cozy Up Knits. I used to watch a lot of their podcasts, mm-hmm. and I bought some of their patterns that were their market patterns.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those were my favorite ones because they were more interesting than like my super basic ones, but then they were, because they were a lot of them were cabled, but then they were more time consuming than the basic ones.
Yeah. Well, and then when you work out, like, okay, how long is this taking me to do, and the materials, and how much am I selling this for? It's like, I'm not paying myself properly here.
No.
Yeah.
And it can also still be hard to get to that point as a designer as well.
Yeah. In all honesty, I'm like just there right now. Like last month, I kind of gave myself a raise. I'm like, oh, I feel like a real, like,
congratulations.
I can actually like do this now, which is pretty cool. And it took 12 years to get there, but.
Yes. That is so exciting. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so then I wanted to go into talking about your book, because that's part of the story, too. Or your books. How many do you have?
We have three. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be four, but the fourth one kind of overlapped with 2020, so we kind of nixed that. But, yeah, so we have three books.
Yeah, and so... It really came from that whole super chunky era that you were working in, correct?
It did. Yes. Our first book was Strand. And kind of what we used to do is, I know there was big chunky yarn out there, but we actually inherited, when my grandma passed away, we inherited all her yarn. So we, and this was before like marling was a big thing too, but we would marl all the yarn together to make our own like big chunky things. So our first book, Strand, was based on that. So we made, we partnered with Cascade Yarns, I think, provided all the yarn for us. And they just sent us a giant, like the biggest box of yarn I've ever gotten, which was great. And then I just got to make up a bunch of patterns. And we did a Kickstarter for it, which was really amazing. I know you just did a Kickstarter as well, which went really good.
Yes.
Congratulations on that. I'm excited to get my books. Or my magazines. Magazines are books. I don't even
know. We're calling them zines because it's like a smaller magazine.
Yeah. I'm excited anyways.
I usually actually refer to them as issues or books, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did that whole book writing process go? Obviously, it didn't go too terribly. You did more.
I did more, yeah. It was tough, but I think the thing that made it easier for me, like, I definitely wouldn't have been able to do it if it was just me. Like, I can make the things and I can make the patterns, like, no problem. I can do all the math, like, spreadsheets. Yes, that is where I'm at. The other side of things, so, like, the graphic design and, like, the layout and all that kind of side of things, that was all Katie. So she was actually the driving force behind doing these books because she wanted to make a book. Like, that's what she was really passionate about. So she's like, can you do the patterns and I can do the books? Like, yes, absolutely. So she kind of took over on that side of things. How many patterns did we have in that one? I think we had nine. And kind of most of them were already done because we those are kind of the things that we had been making for the markets. Like when we were knitting things, like I said, I didn't know what knitting patterns were. So we just kind of made those ones into ones for the book. And it seemed to work out pretty well.
Yeah. That's so fun. So when I first kind of really started knitting in early 2018. And I was like, I kind of was familiar with your podcast, but before so summer of 2017, I was living in Denver for an internship and met Rachel Lundstrom in real life. So she was my in real life friend, and then I found out that she was a yarn dyer, and then I learned about the whole world of yarn and stuff, and she had your book, the first book, and
she bought it from the Kickstarter.
That's so fun. So yes, I knew a little bit more about you because of her.
That's so cool.
So now you aren't doing so much of the big chunky knits. How did that evolution to what you're doing now progress?
Well, because when we started with the chunky knits, it was a lot of repetition. I mean, we did it for a couple years. There was one scarf in particular. It was this brioche, infinity scarf thing with buttons. I probably made 200 of So I was over it. I wanted to knit smaller things. I wanted to get into more detail. I wanted to try new things. I really didn't know too much outside of that because I didn't have the time to anytime I was knitting, I was just doing that. So when we've kind of realized that we're not going to be doing this anymore, we're going to be focusing more on patterns. It gave me a lot of freedom to try different things, knitting socks. I had never knit socks before. So I didn't make a pattern right away, but it just gave me the time and the space to try new things. And so it was, I was able to kind of evolve from there. And then while we were actually doing the Kickstarter for our book Strand, the year before, I think, is when I first started doing more intricate patterns, and I did my first cardigan pattern, and that's when I really started to feel like a designer, was with the Quinelle cardigan. That's the one that kind of was oh, this is nice.
Do you have it with you right now? Do you have do you have the sample to show?
Is it here? I can go check. It might be in my closet. It might be in my storage, but it might be in my closet. Let me check.
I am just sitting here. I'm actually knitting one of Megan's patterns. This is the Mema cardigan. And I'm not doing a very good job of looking at the screen. I've actually, if you've been following me for a while, I've been working on this for a while. But this is the part I'm working. Do you recognize it?
I recognize it.
I dropped a bunch of stitches, but we've saved them, so.
I do have it, actually. So this is, it's hard to show because it's also giant. and broken. I'm wearing it too much. Need to do a little repair. But it's a big kind of open cardigan with where is the sleeve even? My goodness, this thing is huge. But with some just knit and purl texture on it. This is with the fiber company Cumbria Light. And it was actually a little bit of a mistake because they had sent out a call for designers. And so I sent them kind of my idea. And they're like, okay, do you want to do it in this yarn? I was like, great. I'd never worked with the yarn before. I figured light, it was a DK. But they're in Scotland. And so yarn weights are a little bit different than they are here. So a DK is actually not what I would call a DK. It's like a heavy fingering, maybe, like smaller than a sport weight. So what ended up, you know, what I thought was going to be a DK weight cardigan, it was actually a fingering weight cardigan as one of the first things that I, you know, designed and committed on to the yarn company. So I, oh, I guess I have to do it. So I did it. And I was really proud of myself. So yeah, this is kind of the first one that I ever, it's 100 degrees in here, but...
That is so fun.
I can't really see much of it.
So cozy.
Yes, very cozy.
Okay, I want to, because I've been wanting to go on this rant anyway, complain about DK weight yarns in general.
Yeah.
Because of that reason. Like, here in the States, like, sometimes you get a DK weight and it's like, this is not what I expect DK weight to be.
When I think of DK, I think of, like, slightly less than worsted, you know.
I oh, it's too bad. It's blocking right now, so it's soaking wet. But I just found off a towel last night, and I had started it, and I was finishing up one yarn, and then added another, and they're both DK weights, but they're not the same weight.
No,
we're calling it the design feature. And rolling with it.
Hey, if anyone's wondering how we come up with these brilliant ideas, that's how. Yeah.
It works really well for the pattern because the whole idea, I have several patterns now, they're called In a Mood, and you just do what you're in the mood for, and so there's, you can just swap between stitches and all this stuff and change your yarn weights and stuff like that, and so, you know, yeah. I don't have to feel too bad about my sample looking at two yarn weights.
No, it's supposed to be this way.
Yes. Okay, that's so fun. So talking about your more recent designs, how would you describe, like, your aesthetic or what you're trying to do with your designs or how you're inspired by them?
That kind of thing. Well, usually I stick to things that I want to wear. I make things that I want. I had for a little while, like in my early career, I was like, all right, what are the popular patterns right now? And like, what are people buying and what are people making? And like, I try to kind of try to fit myself into that little area. And that was a huge mistake. And with my, cause I'm doing like the beginner designer workshop, idea to pattern, one of the very like first things in it, and I'm very like adamant about it, is make sure that you're designing for yourself and not what you think other people are going to want.
Cause that's a whole guessing game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then you can't, like, you're never really being true to yourself, and, you know, your collection ends up, like, your collection, it doesn't have to be a collection, just your body of work, your entire design thing just starts to feel disconnected because you're trying to do so many different things. So if you just stick to what you want and the colors that you like and the things that you like to knit, and like, I'm a product knitter. You know, there's process knitters and product knitters. I am a product knitter. So if you, like, I like stockinette because I like the way it looks, you know, and I like a little bit of detail, but I want to be able to wear the thing at the end. That's my goal. So I just design what I want and what I feel is missing. I really like using mini skeins and like scraps, because that's, I have a lot in my stash. So I like stash that. I mean, I don't have a huge stash, but I do like to use what's in there. So I'm like, well, how can I like make this work a little bit? So you'll see I have like lots of socks that have mini skeins, and I have a sweater that's coming out, and I'm working on a sweater right now that's literally just all scraps, pretty much, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, you know, for any designers listening in, it can be difficult to figure out what you actually want. Especially, yeah. Like, I kind of, you know, dove right into designing pretty quickly after I started really getting into knitting. And so I still was like trying to figure it out. I wasn't trying to make things for other people, but I was kind of just trying to explore and try new techniques and all these different things. And it was, you know, as true as I could be to myself at that point, but it really doesn't feel authentic to me now.
I feel exactly the same way. Yeah.
And I have had, up until recently, I had this clash of what I like to wear and what I like to knit were very different. Because I also, it's like the stockinette stuff that I like to wear, but I found that just so boring and just like, I literally would fall asleep. And so it was like my designing, it had to fulfill more, have more attention. Mm-hmm. And it had to be more interesting and challenging for me. Where now that I'm doing more with helping other designers with design circle and everything, I've realized that that actually fulfills that like challenging need that I have. And I'm enjoying more of the knits that I actually like to wear. So I'm like,
well, because your brain is working on other things like outside. You know what? I feel that so much. Like, I feel like, yeah, I started off the same, like doing things because I wanted to try the technique. If you look back at my older stuff, there is more technical things because I wanted to try technical things. And you're right. Now that I'm doing something else outside of designing, my designs have gotten much simpler. Yeah. That's so interesting.
So I'm really excited because it's, you know, now I finally have some ideas where I'm like, this actually feels like something I'm excited to wear.
Yeah.
And I've been trying for a little while to, you know, actually do colors that I really love. Because that's a big part of actually enjoying what you wear, I think.
Yes.
But I think it's so hard when there's yarn dyers making all these beautiful colors that are gorgeous, even if you're not going to wear them.
Yeah. I know. I think about all these like beautiful speckled yarns and things that are out there, and like they're so beautiful and they're so fun to knit with. And then what do I wear like every single day is my plain green like Brooklyn tweeds cardigan, which is beautiful, but it's not, you know, it's a single color. It's, you know, we're not doing a lot of, it's a green cardigan.
And the folks around me like to mention that I wear gray on gray on gray. Like, everything I wear is always gray. So,
yeah. I have black and pink. Those are my, yeah.
Although this, you know, this feels pretty true to me. You know,
yeah.
It's dark and it's moody. And I love purples and turquoise teals are my thing. Anyway, we kind of totally went off.
Kind of speaking about that too, you know, you were saying how it's difficult to stick to kind of what you think. And there was like an exercise that I created that, I hope you don't mind if I share it.
Nope.
But basically, what I do every once in a while, and this is kind of a part of the course as well, is I get you to like just write your name in the middle of the page and set a timer for 5 minutes and then do like lines out and like word bubbles of just all the things that you like, the things that you like to knit, the things that you like to wear, the colors that you like, the styles that you like whatever words you can think of that just feel like you, write those all the way around and just spend 5 minutes like writing down everything. And then after that, like go through and pick, you know, 5 to 7 of your key kind of keywords, because there'll be ones that you're like, oh yeah, whatever, but the ones will stand out. So like make an actual list of those ones and then just like have it somewhere, you know, because then you can, when you're sketching your designs or when you're, you know, if you're just a knitter and not a designer and you're picking out yarns or you're picking out patterns, it's like, okay, on my list I have casual and like everyday. Those are the things, like, I'm not a fancy person. I wear sweatshirts and like, I want a comfy cardigan and I want cozy everyday things in my wardrobe. So is this lace shawl really authentic to me? Maybe not. Is it going to be fun to knit? Sure. And like that might, you know, that might tip the scales if you're not, if you don't care about wearing it so much. But yeah, if you want to stick to kind of that, then having that little list is super handy. For me, in colors too, because I usually do like jewel tones and darker things and kind of really, you know, muddy, like earthy colors. And I'm not going to make something in neon, even though it's going to be really fun. It's not really going to go with all my other stuff, unless it's socks. With socks, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, that exercise or similar kind of exercise is really helpful for branding when you're a business. So for designers who are wanting to have a business of their designs, that is like so, so, so helpful for actually determining what you want to share, how you want to show up, all of the different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was I'm a big fan
of lists and writing things down and like having things on real paper and like visible.
Yeah, we had a question earlier that I forgot to go back to. They asked, what's the difference between DK and sport weight yarn? And sport weight is lighter or thinner than DK weight.
Yeah, it's kind of like in between fingering and DK, unless your DK comes from Scotland.
Yes. Okay. I don't know if there was a natural segue to anything there, but a question I thought of today for asking you is there somebody in the yarny world that has been especially influential for you?
That's a great question. I do think there are a lot of designers that I really admire because they kind of have a similar style or just like just a way of presenting. Like photos are something that I've always really struggled with, and I feel like now I'm kind of just getting there with that too, so it's really exciting for me. Photography has a really big impact on me. So like Andrea Mowry, I really love hers. And Tin Can Knits, I know, does really great photography. I'm not sure if you know Abby Dahl. Her and Dank Fiber are together, and they did like the Sorel sweater and a couple other things. But she's a photographer like in real life. And mm-hmm. She actually took the pictures. She's also from Vancouver area. So she did pictures for one of my designs, actually. She was making a course about photographing knitwear. And so she used me as kind of like a model test, you know, thing. So I feel like people with strong visual presence, for sure. And then I know there's a lot of yarn dyers too. Like I'm pretty loyal to like the yarn dyers that I use and like the people that I like. We were talking about Rachel earlier. I've used her yarn in lots of designs. She does like beautiful kind of watercolory, like just lovely, lovely things. And then I work a lot with Midnight Cravings, who is out in the Canadian prairies. They do like wonderful tonals and just beautiful like rich colors, and then some more like commercial yarns like the Fiber Company I've worked with lots, and Brooklyn Tweed. Because they all kind of have my palette, so like, if I can just like pick from you guys, then I know everything's gonna look good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that's like hard about the whole color thing is like I've worked with these dyers and I love working with them, but it's like they don't actually fit anymore.
Yeah.
And then it's also like the struggle between I love working with these dyers, but also there are so many other dyers I would love to work with.
No.
There's too much yarn out there.
There is. There really, really is. I had the company Owl. They actually just sent me a bunch of samples, just because they wanted me to have them, and they're all beautiful. But I actually was reading about them. They're having a sale right now on their gift cards because they can't like produce things as much. I guess they had a really hard time with getting things shipped, and because they're kind of like a small company, their dyer, like their dye house, actually dropped them as a customer, and then they went to another dye house and they like ruined all the yarn they had left. Oh. So they had to sell it at like a crazy discount. So yeah, if anybody watching wants to go look at some beautiful yarn, you can go there. I don't know if they have any right now, but they are having a sale on their gift cards so they can get more yarn. And yeah. It's all very beautiful. Yeah.
And to clarify for our yarndayers here, we do love you. When I say there's too much yarn, it's an internal struggle.
Oh, yes, it's not there's too much yarn in the world. There's just too much that I want. And my house is not big enough. And I can't knit fast enough.
Yeah. Time is a huge issue.
Yes. Have you ever, speaking of time and knitting, have you ever hired a sample knitter before?
I haven't yet, but I'm getting more and more tempted because what I want to wear is like pullovers.
Yeah.
And I am also a product knitter. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking for your designs coming up for your books and stuff too. You know, if that's something that you've thought about, because we have used a sample knitter a couple times, and yeah, it's pretty awesome sending away yarn and then getting this whole made thing just comes to you.
What I actually kind of started thinking about it, not as seriously, but it was like seeing all of these other designs that other designers are creating, and I'm like, I don't have time to make those. Maybe I hire somebody to make those for me.
Yes. Well, I keep working on my designs. Yeah. They can make me other people. Totally. Mm. Totally. Yeah. And I've always wanted to make like a weekender because everyone has a weekender, and that's like the shape that I love. I don't have time to make a weekender.
I just realized, like, last year in the event on Ravelry that they do every, like, November, December.
Oh, the Indie Designer Knit-Along?
Yeah. I realized that, like, basically I'm obsessed with Alicia Plummer's patterns. I've never knit any of them. But, yeah. Like, I'm just going through the different designs, and I'm like, I'm just going to stop designing and have her wardrobe.
It's so hard.
It hasn't happened yet, but
no, you know what? That's a really great thing because during that time, the knit along. Oh, hi, Fred. Say hi. I'll move this thing over here. What was I talking about? Sorry.
During that indie.
Oh, right. During the Indie Designer Knit Along, it's like the old, I make sure that I do choose something of somebody else's to knit so that I get a chance. And usually something big. And honestly, usually it's not for me. Like, usually it's for my daughter or for my husband. That is fingering weight honeycomb brioche. So. I think that sample took me a year to make as well, so don't feel bad. Yeah.
It's funny because, like, I had decided, okay, I'm, like, going forward, I'm only designing in DK weight. No more figure. And I fell in love, well, I really wanted cardigans or pullovers in my wardrobe, and so I decided to pick a couple from other designers, and I ended up purchasing like three sweater quantities of fingering weight because of the patterns.
light sweaters and cardigans and things are so nice to wear. Like, I don't know. I know you're in North Carolina, so I'm not really sure what the climate is there. But here, it just rains all the time. So we don't really get super cold. And, I mean, it's hot right now, but we have maybe, like, a month or two where it's actually hot outside. And then the rest of the time, you're just wearing sweaters. So, like, fingering weight is great because then you can wear it inside, too. And, like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. People are scared of fingering weight, but don't be scared of fingering weight.
We are in the South here. So I grew up in Montana.
Okay.
So I'm used to cold winters, but here we don't have much of winter.
I've been there in like September.
Yeah. So we have really mild winters, but my husband keeps the temperature inside colder than I would, so I'm usually wearing another layer even throughout the summer.
It's not so bad then. Yeah, then fingering weight, right?
Yeah. No. Hello. Somebody just said hi.
See you too.
Okay, so when we were talking about the yarn, I thought it'd be fun to talk about. You've done things with putting together yarn.
Sure. Yeah. I've done a couple different things with yarn. I don't really have anything right now because shipping in Canada just went up again. So unfortunately, I'm not really going to be able to do anything anymore. But I have done things in the past and it's been really, really fun. There was one thing that I did where I actually got people to send in. This was pre 2020. And I think after that, it just wasn't feasible anymore because shipping got all weird. But people would send in like a skein of fingering weight yarn, and then I would collect them all and wind them into mini skeins and then rearrange them and shuffle them all around and make little sets and then send those out. So you would send in a skein of yarn that like maybe you didn't like anymore, and then you got kind of five mini skeins in return. And
that's okay.
Sorry, I should have plugged that in way earlier. So no. There we go. And then that kind of morphed into, I actually started getting a yarn from like different Canadian yarn dyers and making mini skein sets out of that. So I would collect it from all different people and like make curated little sets. For a while we had like a subscription, like a monthly subscription that we did that was really fun. So I'm thinking, I haven't said this out loud yet, but I'm thinking, because I do still have quite a bit of yarn like in my storage unit, waiting for something. So I think I might do like some sort of advent thing with some of the stuff that's still left. And we have like, maybe put some, because we have other things in our shop too, like stitch markers and scissors and all sorts of things. So I'm thinking of maybe like doing some sort of super random, amazing advent.
Yes.
But that's, yeah, just thinking. Haven't actually put any of that into action yet.
Yeah, that's so fun. So, okay. First question, how did you get into adding the other things to your shop?
Well, when we started doing Knit City, after we, because that's kind of the one market that we've done. We've done every single Knit City that there's ever been. And it's very strange because this is actually going to be the first year that we're not doing it. So it's really weird to not be doing a market this year. But when we were doing Knit City, after we had stopped making, making the scarves and things, we realized like people love knitting patterns, but being at a market, it's very expensive. So you have to pay for your entrance fee, you have to get all your booths set up, and you know, we're about an hour away from the venue, so we booked a hotel, and it's expensive to do. You have to pay to be there. And knitting patterns are a very, like, low-cost item. So it was really hard to kind of make that up. So, yeah, we decided to – we started off with little wooden cases for needles. And we just, you know, we just had them there, and people went bonkers over them. They loved them so much. So it was like, oh, okay, like, maybe this is something we can start doing. So then we started finding little vintage, like, or vintage-inspired scissors and things like that, and little notions. So, yeah, we just started curating little things for the market, and then eventually that translated over onto our website. Yeah. And it's fun just, like, because I can only have so much stuff. Like, I live in a little tiny two-bedroom apartment. I can't have a lot of stuff, but I really enjoy finding things and, like, collecting things. So if I can do that and have it at my storage place, then still look at them and enjoy them. So that's kind of my loophole around that, was adding things to the shop.
That is so fun. So we've pretty well talked about everything except for your workshop, I think. Out of everything that you've done so far, what have you enjoyed the most, or do you think is, like, the most fun thing that you've done?
Really, really hard. I feel like, because as a knitwear designer, like, I'm alone a lot of the time. I work from home, you know, I don't really have any human contact during the day. But it's, I would say probably my favorite thing is the knitting markets, because you actually get to, like, I do a YouTube channel, and so, like, people, there's a little connection that way, you know, and there's a little connection through Instagram, and there's little connections here and there and everywhere. But when you actually get to see people in person and, like, interact with them and give them a hug and see with them in real life and, like, see the things that they're making, and you get to talk to yarn dyers that you've only ever, you know, emailed before, and all that kind of stuff. It's the markets. It's, yeah, it's the seeing that kind of energy that always gives me, like, you know, everybody loses their mojo a little bit sometimes, and then you go to a some sort of knitting event, and it's just like everything's exciting again, you know. And I'm so inspired again by everyone that's there. Yes,
yeah. It's like, is Knit City your favorite place you've been?
Yeah. Honestly, we've really only done Knit City as a design, like, as a designer. I've really only done Knit City, so I'm completely biased, but I am going to say that yes, it is the best one. Rhinebeck. Well, either are we going to Rhinebeck? You know what? Rhinebeck's always been on my list, but I am on the West Coast. So that's probably not in the cards for me anytime soon. My mom used to live in Philadelphia, and I should have, there was, like, a tiny overlap where, like, I knew what Rhinebeck was, and she lived in Philadelphia. So I should have jumped on that when I had the chance, but now she lives in Arizona. So I don't see Rhinebeck in my immediate future. Maybe when my daughter's grown and, you know, things are a little less hectic at home.
Yeah, I, especially now that I live in North Carolina, I, like, been toying with the idea, but at the same time, I, like, want to wait until, like, I know I have friends that are going to be there. So I still haven't decided if I'm going this year or not. Yeah.
Are there any, like, events in North Carolina kind of that happen?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is the Southeastern Animal Fiber Fair, which I went to for the first time last year, and it is either a couple weeks before or a couple weeks after Rhinebeck.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. And I just stayed, it's only a few hours from here, and I just stayed with a friend who lives in the area, and I was just there for one day. There's also a small town, I don't know how far it is from the fair, but there is a local yarn shop that does a whole thing that weekend too. So I was in a dyer's booth one day at the local yarn shop, and then I was at the fiber fair one day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was my first time at a, well, I guess there was a small event in Charlotte last year that I went to, but that was like my first real fiber festival.
It was so interesting because I've been a part of Knit City from the very, very, you know, baby beginnings, when knitting was like, was just starting to like come up a little bit. And just to see how it's grown from like this little, like, what is this thing, to, you know, now it's at a huge venue, and like, not counting last year because last year was a little bit odd, but you know, people couldn't travel and things like that. For the last like true pre-pandemic, you know, Knit City, there were thousands of people there from like, people were flying in from, you know, England and all over the States and across the country, and it was like, wow. It was so crazy.
Yeah,
just amazing.
Yeah, well, and it's, you know, something I've kind of thought about sometimes too. Even Rhinebeck, obviously it started as like a small event, and now it's like, I think, like, all of the knitters seem to know about.
Yeah. Like, that's like the gold, yeah, the gold star of like, I don't know if you're a true knitter unless you've been to Rhinebeck. Like, I don't know if we're even part of the club.
Okay, we are able to talk for a long time. I usually cut this off at an hour. We might go a little over. But we still haven't gotten back to your outside of knitting and designing, the outdoors and your family and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I have a family. It exists. I have a cat, Fred. Being a grump. I have a daughter. She's 7. And my husband. And we live in Abbotsford, which is kind of like outside of Vancouver in BC. And yeah, we really like, kind of on the weekends and stuff, we go, I mean, there's so much nature out here. Like, it's bananas. You can just go kind of, there's so many beautiful places and hikes and lakes and rivers and all sorts of things. So, and my husband really enjoys 4x4ing. So we have a 30-year-old Jeep that we take out as a family and go find, you know, a little piece of river that no one's at and go have a campfire. And yeah, we just spend lots of time outside.
Yeah, fun. I always love all of the pictures you share in your about. That is one thing I don't like when I'm like being better about my Instagram usage. I never catch all the little things that everybody loves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fun. And something I realized before our call, I had asked you about an interesting or fun fact, and I never shared it in any of the posts that I wrote. So I have to share it now.
Okay.
So you had mentioned that in your early 20s, you were a DJ, and you would play house music at bars and with your brother and your other friends. So that's so fun.
Yeah, it feels like an entire lifetime ago. Like, I was a totally different person. But yeah, we used to, there was, I think, 4 of us, me and my brother, my like family friend who I've known since I was 2, who's now my brother-in-law, actually. And then another guy, we would play house music, and we had like a standing night at a couple of different places in our town, and we would do house parties and go to Vancouver sometimes and do shows there, and it was just a really, really like, yeah, fun time in my life. But also, you know, it feels so disconnected from my life now. It's like, oh, like, yeah, that was a definitely a part of my life, but it's so different. Like, I think sometimes think about like me then and being like, what would she think of what I'm doing now? I think she'd be okay with it.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's really valuable to remember that we as humans change.
Yeah.
And that does go into our knitting and our designing as well. Our preferences change, our personalities change, interests change, and it's okay. You don't have to like expect yourself to stay a static person.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I was talking to you about the little worksheet that I made about finding your words or whatever. Mm-hmm. In that little worksheet thing, I say too, like, this isn't set in stone. So if this is your style right now, and these are the things you like right now, like that's great. But do this again in like 6 months, or do this again in a year, and things will change. And like, that's okay.
Yeah. Change. Yeah. One of my favorite things that I've ever heard from like a business coach is it's okay to change your mind. Because yeah, so often like we have to stick with what we've already started or like the path we're on. And you know, she's like, when you change your mind, you're just making a more informed decision. You have more information to back you up to change your mind. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I love that.
So
I change my mind all the time.
Yeah. Do you have any of your other design samples with you to share?
Oh, what do I have here?
I just finished my second row of knitting while we were talking.
I think I got maybe a row done on my sock, but you know, I really didn't think ahead, but I do have something that I knit as a gift. So I just have it here, which is a design of mine, but this is the Aurora headband. Yes. And it's actually a pattern that I made. Let's see, I haven't tried it with short hair yet, but this one's for my mother-in-law. So she requested one last winter, and now it's the middle of summer, so I finally did it. Yeah, that's a pattern that I made. I released it last year, I think, and it's actually for like 5 different weights of yarn. So you can use fingering or sport weight or DK or like whatever. So it's kind of meant to just pull from your stash, and then you can make this thing. It makes really great gifts.
That is the one I want to make for myself, because yes, I have bands that like, yeah, aren't super bulky.
Yeah, yeah.
The cabled ones, like I sold a bunch of them when I had an Etsy shop, and that's what I have. But I want to make myself an Aurora headband.
Well, and it's a double, so it's still warm, but it's not. Yeah, I wear that one a lot because I don't want to have to do my hair. I can show you something that is in testing right now.
Sounds good.
This is a sock that I'm working on. Well, the sock is done, the pattern's in testing. It's a sport weight sock, and it has the same kind of motif on it as the ironwood hat, which is a different one of my designs. So it just has this beautiful like arrow with twisted stitches, like just a sock.
Yeah.
So that will come out probably. I have to do pictures, and those I always procrastinate on. Everything else is done, so I'm just waiting on myself to do pictures when it's not 100 degrees outside.
Yeah. If you have, do you have time to chat for a few more minutes? I don't want to hold you.
No, I'm good.
I have a feeling other designers are going to want to hear more about your photography, and like, you mentioned that you feel like you're finally getting to like where you want your photos to be. Do you have any tips to share or any words of wisdom or inspiration for fellow designers also struggling with photography?
Yes. one of the things I think that has really helped is look into some like videos or things like that on like portrait photography, just to learn a little bit about like light and how that affects certain things. You don't really need like a great camera or anything. Like I have a like Nikon DSLR, and I do have a nice lens for it, which helped tremendously. I'm not saying like good cameras don't make a difference, because that lens itself makes a big difference. But I'd say more than that, a good editing software. So for ours, we usually use like Lightroom, because we have the Adobe suite. So I learned how to use Lightroom. and pick some people, like go on Instagram and find photographers that you like and you like their style, and just like make a little Pinterest board or something of different photos that you like, and eventually you'll start to see a pattern of the kinds of things that you like, and different poses and things like that. I find I do my best photography when I am by myself, because then I don't have to feel like a weirdo posing and things like that. So practice, like totally practice as well. Like, do your weird bottle faces in front of the mirror and stuff like that, because it does take a long time to get comfortable in front of the camera. And Katie and I, my sister, early on, we had talked about like hiring a model, because photography was really difficult. So it's like, okay, well, maybe this is something we need to just like let someone else do. But we kind of decided against that. And the only reason we decided against that is because I, you know, started the YouTube channel. I have the Instagram, like kind of part of the brand is me, you know? So it's kind of like, once you add other people to that, it kind of takes away a little bit, which it feels weird even like saying that.
but it's true. See you as the designer, as the face of your patterns.
Yeah. But and if you think about, like, I'm not saying that to always do what the popular designers are doing, but if you see like what a lot of those people have in common, it's they're their own models, because you can see a picture of Andrea Mowry and know that it's Andrea Mowry, and that's an Andrea Mowry pattern. Like, those dots are very easy to connect.
Very recognizable.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and even the style of photography is, you know, her husband is her photographer, so he has a very distinct like style of photography. It's like I was saying before about doing, you know, having a Pinterest board or something. If you like light and airy photos, like, you know, something like Petite Nets has also very just kind of distinct photos. Or do you like moodier things and like darker things, like me? So just kind of, you'll be able to find your style and then kind of stick to that. And then, also look up Abby Dahl. She has a super distinct style. And anytime I see a pattern of hers, I remember the last one they came out with, I can't remember what exactly it was. I saw it on Ravelry, or like someone had reposted it on Instagram or something. I was like, oh, that looks like Abby's photography. And then sure enough, it was like, yeah, one of her patterns. Yeah, I just thought that was funny.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that. Do you have inside of Idea to Pattern Workshop, do you have a photography section?
Not at the moment, because I don't, like, I don't feel like I have a lot of authority on it yet, because I, in all honesty, like, the way I learned about photography was just trial and error and 10 years of experience and 10 years of like failing. Not failing, like, we have pictures, they exist, but like,
yeah, just
it took a really, really long time.
Does it?
Pardon me?
Just figuring out what works and what doesn't.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So just stick with it. Or if you don't, like, it's totally fine if you want to hire that out. Like, if you think it's worth it to, because photography is sometimes, I think, something that gets overlooked, but that's what's going to sell your pattern is photography. So maybe I should add a little, maybe I should make another, because that's the thing with the idea of pattern course too, is I'm just going to keep adding things to it as people bring things up, and I never really thought about doing something on photography, but you're right, maybe I should.
And for anybody who's inside of the design circle or interested, we did have Annalisa Miller, who is a hidden pearl on Instagram. She's a professional photographer who has done work for some designers. But she shared some of her tips and things like that too. So that's it.
I'll have to watch that. You can always learn more, right?
Yes. And you know, there's tons of, you know, you kind of mentioned this earlier, talking about portrait photography videos. There's tons of content out there on the interwebs about photography tips. You know, there's lots of stuff out there. But you can't be overwhelming.
Saying things like, well, and there's even like specific ones for if you only have your cell phone and you can't invest in something else. Like, there are courses and videos and things just for like taking pictures with your cell phone. So yeah.
Actually, I think her name is Amy Eaton. She's kind of the person that I first was following when I first started my Etsy shop, because she has stuff specifically for like product listings and specific things to cameras and specific things to phones and specific things about how to edit. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed by the options, that is somebody that I recommend as well, who has a lot of different resources. But
what was her name? Amy
Eaton? Eaton. She's actually Canadian as well.
Oh. We're nice.
Okay, I think my last question for you is about when, like, now you don't have Katie helping you all the time.
Yes.
How has that gone? Or, like, has it been a rough transition to being by yourself?
Yes and no. I only say no because for the past few years, she moved away to Hawaii for 2 years. So for those 2.5 years or however long she was gone, I was essentially running the business by myself anyways. So it wasn't too difficult to kind of go back to that. The one thing that Katie has always been really great with is like generating ideas and like keeping me on a bit of a schedule, or like not keeping me on a schedule, but helping me create a schedule and things like that, and getting new, like a workshop. That wouldn't have happened like without her, because she was able to like present it to me in a way that it wasn't like overwhelming, because if too much stuff is happening at the same time, like I have a hard time breaking it down into its steps. But like she's still helping me with that stuff. Like if I needed her to, she would still be there to be like, mm-hmm. All right, let's go through this together and we'll like break it down and you know, here's all the steps that you need to do. Cause she didn't leave because of bad terms or anything like that. She left because she started her own, she's becoming a breathwork practitioner. So she's starting her own business, at doing breathwork. You know, she's still going to help me with Pip and Pin on some of those aspects. And then on some of the aspects where, you know, of the business that kind of I took more control of, like the bookkeeping and taxes and, you know, financials. That's something that I always was kind of in charge of, because I enjoy that. And like, that's just totally in my wheelhouse. So like when it comes to doing that stuff for her business, I'm obviously just going to go help her, you know, set that up. So we're still like a team. But so yeah, in that aspect it hasn't been too difficult. I did have to Like she is a graphic designer, so she did all the layouts and things like that. So I did, you know, have to watch a couple tutorials about how to use InDesign and things like that. but it hasn't been too hard so far.
Yeah, I'm excited for her journey. But
yeah,
I also like admire your relationship that you had, and like how well. I mean, obviously, you still have your relationship.
Yeah,
it's just different.
Yeah.
But like just how well you like complemented each other.
Yeah,
and your different abilities, strengths.
Yeah. Oh, we really did. Well, we do. Yeah, we still. Yeah. It's definitely nice having a business partner who, yeah, you can like mesh so well with, and the things that I didn't like doing, she liked doing, the things that she didn't like doing, I liked doing, and yeah, it's great. So,
okay, I thought of one more question. Actually, I had the original list, I just forgot it. how did the name Pip and Pin come along?
That is actually our original name. We actually went through, I think last year or 2 years ago, we were debating on changing it. We were trying to think up different things and nothing really like stuck. So we ended up keeping it the same. But Pip and Pin actually comes from our grandmas. Yeah. So on my dad's side, we have Pip. And her nickname growing up was Pipsqueak. And so she had a little tattoo on her arm with Pip. And then Pin was from my other grandmother. She's the one who taught me how to knit. She was a seamstress. She was very crafty. So like a pin just felt, you know, nice. And Pip and Pin went together nicely. So yeah, it's named for our grandmas.
Sweet. I love that. is there anything else you want to leave folks with? Anything else you want to share?
I don't know. I guess if you are a designer, we have some things coming up with more workshops. So we have the idea to pattern one that we kind of do. I think I'm going to do it 2 or 3 times a year. So that one will be starting up again in the end of September. We'll be starting another round of that. And I've actually, my daughter is in day camp this week. So I'm just finishing up the final touches on our newest one, which is going to be all about marketing and social media and promoting yourself and your patterns and all that kind of fun business stuff. So that one will probably be coming out end of July or end of August. Yeah, end of August.
So many exciting things. I love just watching everything that you do. And I love, like, how many different tangents you've taken. where can they find you online if they're not already following you?
I'm on Instagram as Pip and Pin. I am on Ravelry as Knit Pip and Pin. And we also have the Ravelry group, which we have some knit-alongs happening there. And I have test knits and a little community there. What else do I have? I have my YouTube channel, the Pip and Pin Podcast. And our website, where you can find patterns and notions and yarn sometimes, which is pipandpin.ca.
Perfect. But there was one thing. Oh, you talked about knit-alongs. You have a sock knit-along running right now, right?
Yes. Yeah, I do. 6 weeks of socks. And it's for any sock pattern. If you do use a Pip and Pin pattern, you get 2 entries, and there's going to be prizes kind of at the end. And that's going to end on August 12th. So there's still 4 weeks left. Plenty of time to knit a pair of socks, I think. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. This was
thank you for having me.
Fun. It's like one of those things where I, like, you know, started thinking about folks that I wanted to have on the podcast. Like, not on this is not the podcast. on
Instagram Live. Yeah.
Maybe someday I'll be on my podcast too. I haven't done a lot of guest speakers yet. But like end of last year, I was thinking about folks, and now it's like, it's actually happening. so far away, and now it's
here. Oh, now it's here. So I think, so fun. Yeah, you approached me back in May or something, and I think we originally planned for August, and then it got bumped earlier, and it's like, yeah, no, it's very exciting. This is, I think, my first kind of live interview thing like this, so thank you so much for thinking of me.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such a pleasure to have you, and I hope other folks enjoyed the little peek in that, I feel like it's just hopefully it's a little bit deeper than what we typically share on Instagram to share a little bit. Who we are, who you are.
Me too, yeah. I feel like this is more of a conversation.
Yeah. Especially this one, I feel like I talked a lot about myself. But anyway, thank you again. And the replay will be available for anybody who hopped on later and wants to catch the beginning as well. Have a good rest of your day.
Wow, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you found it valuable, please share the podcast with a designer friend. And if you have a minute, leave a review. It's so helpful for me and means the world to me. Chat soon.